Tonight's message is sharing with others. How many here tonight would agree that we live in a blessed nation? A nation where we enjoy freedoms like religion and the freedom of speech. The blessing of being able to work. Enjoy getting into God's Word? All right, tonight's message is sharing with others. How many here tonight would agree that we live in a blessed nation? A nation where we enjoy freedoms like religion and the freedom of speech. The blessing of being able to work. Now, let me give you a hypothetical. Say you make, in your job, $300 a week. As a responsible U.S. citizen, you give part of that back in taxes. You're receiving an income for your hours, and you give part of that back as a responsible citizen of this nation. Now, when you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, spiritually, you became a citizen of God's kingdom. Would you agree? You know, and as responsible spiritual citizens of God's kingdom, we need to be sharing with others. You know, at this shelter, you receive so much help. You receive physical food. You receive the Word of God on a nightly basis. You receive counsel. And you need to be giving back at the same time. You're receiving from this wonderful Christ-centered mission. But you've also got to be giving back of the abundance and the blessing and the goodness that God has bestowed upon your life. And you might be thinking tonight, well, you know, I'm in such great need myself. How can I give? How can I share with others? I don't have a home, you might be thinking. I don't have a car. But remember, friends, there's somebody outside these walls tonight in downtown Tulsa that is in greater need than you. You've got this shelter over your head while it rains. There's somebody out there tonight on a street corner. Somebody out there tonight sleeping under a bridge. Somebody out there tonight that hasn't eaten a meal for days. There's somebody out there that doesn't have the bus fare that you've got. They've got to walk from point A to point B, and they might have weak knees or something. So there is somebody out there that is in greater need than you, and that's something that you should remember. A river, for instance, this body of water called a river, it receives water from a source, and then it gives it out to a larger body that's lower, like an ocean, right? We're to be like rivers of living water. A river is a living body of water. It receives and it gives out. You are receiving here at this place from the Word of God. You're receiving in so many ways, but at the same time, as a spiritually responsible citizen of the kingdom of God, you've also got to be giving out. You've got to be sharing with others who might be in greater need than yourself. Is that making sense here tonight? And maybe you accepted Jesus 10, 15, 20 years ago, and there's people sitting in churches that have accepted Jesus many years ago. And they're still in the toddler stage. A toddler is about what? A toddler is about me, myself, and I, right? It's the center of its own world. You know, and spiritually, you might find yourself in that position where you accepted Jesus Christ many years ago, but still you're just here receiving, receiving, receiving. You need to be going towards spiritual adulthood in your walk with God. You've got to start giving out of yourself, sharing with others in your spheres of influence that are in greater need than yourself. Is that making sense here tonight? So I'm going to read you an illustration that I thought was interesting. And it's this. About service. We're all obligated in the kingdom of God to serve others. The great violinist Niccolo Paganini willed his marvelous violin to Genoa, the city of his birth, but only on the condition that the instrument never be played. It was an unfortunate condition, for it is a peculiarity of wood that as long as it is used and handled, it shows little wear. As soon as it is discarded, it begins to decay. The exquisite mellow-toned violin has become worm-eaten in its beautiful case. valueless except as a relic. The moldering instrument is a reminder that a life withdrawn from all service to others loses its meaning. And as you give yourself to others, your life has meaning. Your life has meaning. Remember, you're not on this earth by accident. You're not on this earth just to exist. God has got a plan, a destiny, and a purpose for your life. And part of that purpose is to share with others. If you haven't yet done so, you need to start moving towards spiritual adulthood in your walk with God. You're receiving, but you also got to be giving. And Jesus gives a parable on this subject of sharing, of reaching out to others. The parable of the Good Samaritan. It's an awesome parable. So we're going to read it tonight, Luke chapter 10, verses 25 through 37. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And maybe you thought that before. "Jesus, God, I don't feel like my life is quite right with you. What do I need to do to inherit eternal life to know that I'm going to heaven one day?" "What is written in the law?" Verse 26, he replied. "How do you read it?" And the expert in the law replied. He answered, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind." That's found in Deuteronomy 6:5. "And love your neighbor as yourself." Leviticus 19:18. "You have answered correctly," Jesus replied. "Do this and you will live." Now listen to this, verse 29. This expert wanted to justify himself. He wanted to appease his conscience. So he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Why does he ask Jesus this question? Why does it say in the scripture that he wanted to justify himself? "And who is my neighbor?" It's possible that when Jesus said to him, "Do this and you will live," that he sensed in the voice of Jesus a tone of rebuke, like, "You need to be doing this." And the teacher, the expert in the law, could have been thinking, "You know, I know the law. You know, I teach the law. I know the Pentateuch, so I study God's law, so I must be okay with God." But Jesus, are you saying that maybe I haven't attained to the fullness of loving my neighbor, Jesus? After all, Jesus, I love the people of my race, the Jewish race. I love the people that believe like me, the Jewish laws. I love the people that I'm on good terms with, Jesus. I think I'm loving my neighbor, but Jesus, am I missing something concerning neighbor? Am I not loving my neighbor? Jesus, who is my neighbor then? Who is my neighbor? And so Jesus goes about to expand the concept of who the neighbor is. It's beyond someone who is just like you. It's much more than that. In reply, Jesus said, verse 30 of Luke 10, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he was attacked by robbers." So this road from Jerusalem to Jericho is under 21 miles. And it was like mountainous areas, caves where robbers could hide out. And so they came upon this Jewish man and they stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. Leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road. And when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. It's sad, you know, this priest or the priests were taking care of the house of God, the temple of God. They offered sacrifices, they offered incense, and supposedly they were holy, but obviously this priest did not have the compassion of God on the inside. He sees this half-beaten Jew and he walks on by. It could be that he was thinking, man, as soon as I get to this Jew, he'll die and I could defile myself. He could have been thinking that. And then so too the Levites assisted the priests in the temple duties. When he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. Man, what a shame, right? This Levite supposedly looks, stops, looks, pays some attention, and walks right on by. The priest and the Levite see a man who was beaten, a Jew, half dead, and they just walk on by. They walk on by. Here's the key. But a Samaritan, verse 33. But a Samaritan. You see, the Samaritans were a race hated by the Jews. They were looked down upon by the Jews. They were a different race. They had a different religion. There was racial animosities between the Samaritans and the Jews. And the Samaritan was the least likely person to help a Jew, a person who was so different than him. But this Samaritan was touched with the compassion and the love of God and reached out to touch somebody who was so different than him in belief, in culture, in race. Is that making sense here tonight? So, how do we apply this to us? See, the Samaritan went to him and bandaged his wounds, verse 34, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii, like 2 days worth of wages, and gave them to the innkeeper. Look after him, he said, and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have. Jesus said to the expert, which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers? The expert in the law replied, the one who had mercy on him. Jesus told him, go and do likewise. And those words apply to us tonight. We need to go and do likewise. So tonight, how do we apply this parable in sharing of our lives with others? Realize, first of all, now listen, that at one point in the past you may have missed it. Maybe you played the part of the priest or the Levite when you saw that hungry person on the side of the road who had not eaten in days, and maybe you thought, man, that person irritated me. You looked at that person, you had some money to your name, and you're like, nah, I'm just going to go on by. Maybe you missed it. Maybe in the winter you saw that person outside these walls freezing. Maybe you had 2 coats on, and instead of sharing with that person, you just walked on by. Maybe that person looked different than you. Maybe that person was of a different skin tone or a different belief, and maybe tattooed from head to toe, and you're like, man, that person is way too different for me. I'm just going to walk on by. And maybe at one point, maybe you played the part of the priest or the Levite where you saw that person in need, God put that person across your path, and you just walked on by. But there's good news. You can repent. You can change your mind and say, you know, God, I am sorry. I am sorry for missing those opportunities of sharing with others. And realize that we serve the God of another chance. Just like God gave Jonah another chance to preach to Nineveh, God can give you another chance to reach out to that person who is in greater need than you. Just cry out to God. Pray to God and say, God, I missed it in the past. I'm sorry. I repent. God, I pray that you put that same person across my path or another person similar. And God, give me your strength, your empowerment, your compassion, your love to reach that person. God, I pray that you give me the heart of the good Samaritan. God, I pray that you show me that person. Bring that person across my path. Give me the heart of the good Samaritan to reach out to the person who is so different than me in belief, in looks, in the ways they think, in the things they do. God, I pray that your compassion is born on the inside of me. Now, the Samaritan realized, I believe, several things, and this applies to us tonight. The Samaritan was different than the Jew, and there's people out there that are different than you. But the Samaritan realized that though the Jew was so different, was of another race, of a different belief, that he shared a common humanity with that Jew. The same red flowed through him and that Jew. The Samaritan must have instinctively realized that beaten Jew was created in the image of the same God that he was created in. What does it mean to be created in the image of God? It means that we have a spirit that lives on forever. We are like God in that we have a spirit because God is a spirit, right? So we are created in the image of God. And what did the Samaritan do? What did the Samaritan do in reaching out to this Jew? How did the Samaritan share of himself with the Jew, friends? Listen to this. He shared in several different ways. What did he do? He went to the beaten Jew and he bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. So he did what? This Samaritan did what? He was sharing of his time with this beaten Jew. Would you agree? And friends, you can do the same. Maybe there's somebody out there beyond these walls, who hasn't spoken to another person for days or weeks, has not been able to confide in another person for such a long time, has not had physical affection. You can go like the Samaritan, even though that person is different than you, and you can do what? You can spend some time with that person. Spend a couple of hours talking with that person. Tell that person that God loves you and I believe in you. You see, the Samaritan shared of his time, and you can do the same. Second, the Samaritan shared of his resources. The next day, verse 35, he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper. Look after him, he said, and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have. This Samaritan had some resources to his name. He was paying the rent to the innkeeper. And he said, when I return, if there's any additional expense, let me know and I will pay it. God has blessed you. Maybe you've got some money to your name and there's somebody out there that hasn't eaten for days and you've got some money. Go ahead and buy that person something to eat. Chips, some water to drink. You know, maybe that person has only one set of clothes and you've got a little bit of money to your name. Go and buy that person a blanket. Go buy them a jacket. Go buy them another set of clothes. Share of yourself with others who are in greater need than you. Is that making sense here tonight? Amen. You're living here at this shelter, but as responsible spiritual citizens of the kingdom of God, you've got the obligation, I have the obligation to share with others that are in greater need than us. Now, Jesus gave another parable in Matthew chapter 25, remember that? Matthew chapter 25, about the sheep and the goats. And this is what he says. Matthew 25, when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, he will sit on his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before him and he will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, come you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you? And thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in? Or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you? Verse 40 of Matthew 25. The king will reply, truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. When you reach out with the love of God and share of yourself with somebody who is in greater need than you, you're doing it for Jesus himself. When you reach out with the compassion of God, you are reaching the heart of God himself. That person that God brings across your path who needs your help, remember this, is Jesus in disguise. And you've got to ask yourself, WWJD, what would Jesus do? Jesus would reach out with the love of God and serve that person who needed help. Let me say it again. When you find somebody in need and you reach out and you help them, you spend some time with them, you bring them food, you go and visit them, you pour into their lives, guess what? You're doing it for Jesus himself, because that person in need is Jesus in disguise. Amen. Say it with me tonight. Jesus, God, I pray that in the coming days, you give me the opportunity to share with others, to share of myself with others who might be in greater need than me. In Jesus' name, amen. Remember, in this parable, Jesus was expanding the concept of neighbor. A lot of times people will think, and they thought, that neighbor is the one that you're on friendly terms with. And that's true. Neighbor is somebody that is of your race, and that could be true. Somebody who believes like you, and that could be true. But neighbor goes beyond that. Neighbor includes those that are different than you, that look different than you, that believe differently than you. And so when you see somebody who's different than you in the coming days, the coming weeks, don't let that stop you. Remember that though that person may be different than you, you share a common humanity with that person. The same color red flows through the both of you. Amen. Remember, when you see that person who is so different than you, that person is still your neighbor, because that person like you is created in the image of God. We are reflections of God because we have spirits that will live on. And God is a spirit. There's only two things we'll take into eternity, friends. Two things only. There's only, if you remember nothing else, remember this tonight. The only two things you'll take into eternity with you is your relationship with Jesus Christ and the good you did for others when you walked this earth in the 60, 70, 80, 90, or 100 years on this earth. Let me say it again. The only two things you'll take into eternity with you, into heaven, is your relationship with Jesus, with God, and the good you did for others when you walked this earth. The good that you do to others, the sharing that you do for others, to others, is building your heavenly account. And when I enter heaven one day, I want to hear God say to me, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." How about you? You want to hear that one day? Then friends, remember this. As a responsible citizen of the kingdom of God, you're receiving here at this place, but you've also got to be giving out of yourself to others. And you can even start here in the shelter. You can help put out chairs. You possibly might be able to help in the kitchen. There's things you could do right here at John 3:16, and there's things you could do outside the walls of John 3:16. So pray to God. Pray to God. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, make your requests be known to God. And say, "God, I want to share with others. God, you have bestowed upon me goodness, blessing, some abundance. I want to give some of that back. And God, I pray that you bring those opportunities, those people across my path in the coming days, the coming weeks, and the coming months." All right? Remember what I said earlier. You were not made to just exist on this earth. You weren't made to just take up space. You were made to do something in this world and in the kingdom of God. And that something that you can do is to share with others. You might have been in spiritual toddlerhood here for a long time, but guess what? It's about time you start moving towards spiritual adulthood in your walk with God, giving back out to others. Amen?
Amen.
And as you listen to the message tonight, you thought, well, you know, I've never even accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior for the first time in my life, but tonight I want to do so. If you've never accepted Jesus, but tonight you're wanting to do so for the first time, raise your hands. Don't be afraid. Don't be ashamed. All right. Anybody for the first time wanting to accept Jesus as your Savior? Maybe you accepted Jesus and maybe you got upset with God. Maybe you got upset with somebody and you've slipped away from Jesus Christ. You know, reaching out to others, sharing with others, and greater need than yourself all begins with faith in Jesus. And so maybe you slipped away from God, you've slipped away from Jesus, and tonight you want to re-give, rededicate your life back to God. If that's you, raise your hand. Don't be afraid. Don't be ashamed. It doesn't matter what somebody next to you is thinking in front of you. In the next 5 minutes, they'll forget. So if you want to re-give your life back to Jesus tonight, raise your hand. Don't be afraid. All right, sir, I see your hand. Stand up. Anybody else want to follow this man's lead? Wanting to re-give your life back to Jesus? Anybody else? Anybody else here tonight? Anybody else here tonight? Wanting to give your life back to Jesus. Don't be afraid. Don't be ashamed. If God is whispering to you by His Holy Spirit, don't ignore His voice. Anybody else wanting to follow their lead? Wanting to give your life back to Jesus. Anybody else in the room here tonight? Anybody else? You know, remember this. The next hour is not guaranteed you. If you were to slip into eternity in the next hour, where would you spend it? Do you know beyond the shadow of a doubt you'd be in heaven with God? If you don't, you need to re-give your life back to Jesus. All right. So those guys that stood up, stand up again. Come forward. Come forward to the altar. Those guys standing up, come forward. Don't be afraid. Anybody else want to follow their lead? All right. All right. Anybody else? One last call. All right. Brothers, repeat this prayer after me. Dear Jesus, I thank you that you died upon the cross for my sin. I followed you at one time, but I've done some bad things. I've slipped away, but tonight I say I'm sorry. I change my mind from going my way to going your way only. Again, be my Savior and my Lord. The one in full charge of every part of my life. Jesus, I love you. Give me the strength, the empowerment of the Spirit to follow you the rest of the days of my life on this earth. Jesus, I thank you that when I leave this earth, I'll meet you face to face in heaven. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right, brothers, God bless you. Welcome back to God's family. And for those brothers that recommitted your life to Jesus Christ tonight, you know, there's certain things you can do in your walk with Christ to stay close to Christ. You can be getting into the Word of God on a consistent basis, praying on a daily basis to God, continuing to go to church services, reaching out to others, finding good, spiritual, strong Christians to be friends. And I want to say one last prayer for you guys tonight. Father God, in Jesus' name, I just pray that as we got into your word tonight and studied the parable of the Good Samaritan, that we would pull something out of it, God. God, I just pray that you touch our hearts with your compassion and your love, that even though that person you might send across our path is so different than us, that person is still our neighbor, Father God. And I pray that you speak to us and how you want us to reach out and touch that person with your love, with our time, with our resources, with the other blessings and the good things that you've given to us. Because God, we understand that there's always somebody out there in greater need than us. God, we love you. We praise you. Bless these brothers and sisters tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, is this brother closing it off? Yes, go ahead, sir.